Join me in Zephaniah chapter 2, and I am going to close out this brief study. don't know quite how to bring this to you, but after last week's sermon, was a troubling afternoon, as the words here plagued me to a degree, and Judy and I had conversation for a good length of time. And so the message of Zephaniah is heavy and harsh. And we will face the day of the Lord, and we will face the day of judgment. But because of our Lord's grace and His covenant, I want us to look at the culmination of that day of judgment as Zephaniah closes out his book. We must and should preach the judgment of God, because that day is coming. But for the Christian, that day of judgment should not be a day of fear, because of the completed work of Jesus Christ. We will have to give an account, and our sinfulness will be brought to bear. But then we will see the amazing, marvelous grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's where I want to go with this. We heard the anger last week, for those of you who were here. If you were not here, then go back and read chapter 1 of Zephaniah. Some of the harshest words in all of text. Even to the point where God wanted to utterly sweep away everything from the face of the earth. He was so angered by the hypocrites. He was so angered by the betrayers, the priests of his temple, the kings and the sons of the kings of his land had betrayed him to such a degree that, as we read in chapter 1, he wanted to just utterly wipe it away. However, there is hope. There is hope. And that's where I want to take you today. Join me in Zephaniah chapter 2. I don't know if we have any issues with the projection, but listen as I read. Gather together, yes, gather, O shameless nation, before the decree takes effect, before the day passes away like chaff, before there comes upon you the burning anger of the Lord. Before there comes upon you the day of the anger of the Lord, seek the Lord, all you humble of the land, who do his just commands. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you may be hidden on the day of anger of the Lord. I'll end my reading there for just a moment. We will move to chapter 3 in just a few moments. As I said, there is hope. And God remembers his covenant and provides hope. Notice the difference in the change of language. Chapter 1 was, as I've said, angry. But here, there is a bit of a relenting by God. And he's actually calling them together. Calling them together and says, if you do certain things, perhaps you may be hidden from the Lord's anger. Zephaniah continues to pronounce judgment. He still speaks of the fierce anger of the Lord, which will come upon the men, those with their sins. But Zephaniah also knows that God loves his people. He knows and loves his people. Remember the discipline about to be given to Jerusalem? Well, this discipline, this judgment, is actually an act of love. It's actually an act of love that God has for his people. As I said last week, if he did not bring them to judgment and let them continue on in their depraved ways, where's the love in that? But he wants to change them. So Zephaniah, speaking the very words of God, calls the people to repent and to return to the Lord. Repentance means a change of mind, which leads to a change of direction. Repentance means so much more than just being sorry for our sin. It's a change of thinking, which leads to a change in living. And this is what Zephaniah, this is what God is calling his people to. Calling them to gather together. Gather together in a time of repentance. Now, this is not just some minor coming together for a meeting. He calls them to come together and then do stuff. Do things. Verse 3 again. He says, all right, now as you gather together, seek the Lord, all you humble of the land, who do his just commands, seek righteousness, seek humility, and as I said, perhaps you may be hidden on the day of anger of the Lord. There are those in Jerusalem that are seeking the Lord. And as it says here, who do his just commands. And so now he's calling on the rest of the nation, the rest of the city of Jerusalem, to follow suit. First of all, he says, seek the Lord. Now, here is where we come together in our gatherings, and it is not simply to follow some religious ritual. It is to have purpose, and that is to seek the Lord with an attitude of humility and obedience. See, in chapter 1, we didn't see that. We were told that they no longer longed for the Lord. They no longer did the things that the Lord had decreed for them to do. They no longer consulted the Word of God. They actually lost the Pentateuch. Some years after this, Josiah, the king that's reigning now, found it in the temple. But it had been years since the Word of God had been read. So they are told now to long for the Lord, to seek the Lord, to seek His ways, and to seek to be in His presence in a corporate worship as we're doing here. Seeking the Lord also means turning away from the things that distract, turning away from the sinful ways of the world, turning away from those people who are not their best influence and tend to drag us down. Jesus Christ Himself said, seek first the kingdom of God. Long first for the kingdom of God and His ways. So we are first to seek, to long after God and being in the Lord's presence. Secondly, we are to seek righteousness. We are to seek righteousness, meaning that when we seek the Lord and meet with Him, we should do all we can in the work of the Spirit to reflect His character. To reflect His character. Here we are to be determined to live a godly life. And as I said, reflecting the character and the nature. When we take on the name of Jesus Christ, it's not just some simple, visible, outward appearing kind of thing. It's not just taking on the name of Jesus and saying, yeah, I'm a Christian. No, it is taking on the name of Jesus Christ. It is taking on the nature of Jesus Christ. It is taking on the ministry of Jesus Christ. Seeking righteousness means to seek Him and His way in all that we do. And we have that righteousness. It may not be apparent at times, but we have that righteousness because you see at conversion, Jesus Christ took our sin upon Himself. He took our sin upon Himself on that cross. But then when the Holy Spirit came to you and converted that old hardened heart to a heart of flesh, He imputed the righteousness of Christ in you. And through the work of the Holy Spirit in our sanctification, it grows and grows. But it's there if you profess Jesus Christ as Lord. And so in our repentance, we are to seek righteousness. As I said, we have it because God gave Him our sin and His righteousness to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for our sake He made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. And as I said, that righteousness looks like is to be seen as following the commands, reflecting the character and nature of Jesus Christ, living a life fulfilling the ministry, the call that He's placed on your life, reflecting Jesus Christ to a lost and dark world. In repentance, we are to be active, doing. And then thirdly, Zephaniah says, you must seek humility. The two greatest sins of the people of this time was their pride and their arrogance. their pride in that we don't need God. We can do this on our own. And then the arrogance to think that was true. And so Zephaniah is preaching against their arrogance, against their pridefulness, against their self-centeredness. He says, seek humility. One of the greatest sins, possibly still of my life, but of the life in the past, was a prideful arrogance that thankfully the Lord has chipped away most of it. But it is so easy to become prideful. It is so easy to become arrogant. Because you see our original nature before conversion, our original nature, that's its wheelhouse. I don't need God. I've got me. But here, Zephaniah says, seek humility. Now, this has a twofold character to it. First of all, as we seek humility, means we are to live humbly before the Lord. That's a given. Micah 6, what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly? Humbly before God. And to walk humbly means to be done with pride. Walk humbly means to be done with arrogance. Walking humbly means to be done with me. And realize that there is no place before a holy and righteous God for things of this sort. And second, living humbly should lead to the acknowledgement of sin. And see, there's the heart of repentance. When he calls on one to repent, we first must acknowledge sin. And we should not fear confessing our sin. In the New Testament, we're actually told to confess our sins to one another. You talk about uncomfortable. And so living humbly means, yes, I am a sinner. And yes, I will confess that sin openly. Because confession is the first step to true repentance. Living a humble, repentant life is pleasing to God. All right, Zephaniah, let's say we do these things. Let's say we do these things. We come together. We repent from our sinful ways. We seek the Lord, long for the Lord with all that's in us. And we seek his righteousness. We seek to live the character and nature of our Christ. And we seek to live humbly, which is very challenging. What will God's response be to this? Because in the leading up to this, it's somewhat of a conditional aspect of what Zephaniah is saying. You need to repent, and you repent, you're going to do these things. All right, now what's God's response going to be to this? Go with me to chapter 3, verse 9. Now, the verses I am not covering at the end of 2 and the beginning of 3 is God's judgment on the lands surrounding Jerusalem and also bringing Jerusalem into a place of peace. He says along the seashore, and you know where Israel is. And so we'll leave that to your reading. Excuse me, but join me at verse 9. Zephaniah called us together, called us to repent. And then he speaks the very words of God once more. Verse 9. For at a time I will change the speech of the peoples to a pure speech, that all of them may call upon the name of the Lord and serve him with one accord. From beyond the rivers of Cush, my worshipers, the daughters of my dispersed ones, shall bring my offering. On that day you shall not be put to shame because of the deeds by which you have rebelled against me. For then I will remove from your midst your proudly exultant ones, and you shall no longer be haughty in my holy mountain. But I will leave in your midst a people humble and lowly. They shall seek refuge in the name of the Lord, those who are left in Israel. They shall do no injustice and speak no lies, nor shall there be found in their mouth a deceitful tongue. For they shall graze and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, "Fear not, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. I will gather those of you who mourn for the festival so that you will no longer suffer reproach. Behold, at that time I will deal with all your oppressors, and I will save the lame, gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all of the earth. At that time I will bring you in, at the time when I gather you together, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord." Quite a different tune Zephaniah is speaking now compared to the way he began. Because you see, God, remembering his covenant, remembering his love, has relented. And he's expressing his amazing grace. After judging the day of the Lord, he will call his people back from every nation. The remnant will be gathered in, and there will be pure worship. And his people will be completely changed by the fulfillment of his redemption. And in that redeemed community, there will be no shame because the proud, arrogant leaders spoken of in verse 1 have been done away with. In their place will be the humble and the lowly who do no injustice and speak no lies. Here we see the full aspect of God's grace. A people who were once shameful, prideful, and arrogant have now been touched by the beautiful hand of grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. See, these are the people Zephaniah is talking to now. And I would dare say, as we sing Amazing Grace, every one of us have muttered those words and meant them. God's amazing grace will transform a people. I am testimony to that. You are testimony of that. And in this fully redeemed state, all judgment will be gone. Verse 15 once more. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you, and he has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. All judgment is gone. The Lord God is in their midst. Again, remembering the covenant. Remember what he said in that covenant to Abraham. I will be your God, and you will be my people. Zephaniah is repeating those same words very similarly. All the enemies will be cleared away, and the people will fear evil no more. Now, we must attest that not all of this was accomplished in Jerusalem's history. Jerusalem was judged. They were disciplined. And they were punished for their sinfulness. For they were taken into captivity into Babylon and spent many, many years there. And many returned to their homelands. Most Israelites did not return to Israel, but stayed in Babylon. But when they returned to their homelands in their history, they were blessed by God, but sin remained among the people. They were not yet that pure people that Zephaniah is referring to here. For you see, this prophecy had an aspect of dealing with Jerusalem's future, but it is more pointing to a future to us. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. John writes, "And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying," I'm at verse 10 of chapter 12 if you're headed there. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now, the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they love not their lives even unto death. Therefore, rejoice. Here we move to what was accomplished on Calvary's hill. Jesus Christ's death, resurrection, and his exaltation to the right hand of the Father has guaranteed the victory for God's people. What Zephaniah prophesied, Jesus Christ secured on that cross. And in his resurrection and ascension, purchased all that was necessary to ensure that prophecy would come to pass. And there is coming a day when God will bring this covenant, this prophecy, into its fulfillment. Revelation 21, a very familiar passage. Revelation 21, verse 1. As I said, a familiar passage. John writes, Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and first earth had passed away. Remember, Zephaniah prophesied that all the enemies would be gone. All the judgments would be gone. And the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Remember Zephaniah prophesying that all judgments were gone? All evil was gone? There would be no fear anymore? And that God would be in the midst of his city with his people. Verse 3, And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. Again, upholding Zephaniah's prophecy. Back in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. And listen to this. And he will exult over you with singing. Think about that for a moment. That the Lord Jesus Christ, God, is probably a pretty awesome singer, will sing over you with great joy, will sing over you with great praise, because you are a testament of the fulfillment of his covenant and the love he had for a very rebellious people. I will gather those of you who mourn for the festival, so that you will no longer suffer reproach. Behold, at that time I will deal with all your oppressors, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all of the earth. At that time I will bring you in, at the time when I gather you together, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes. He will bring peace. He will exalt over you with singing. The Christians will be renowned over all the earth, and the fortunes of the Christian will be given them. I pray as John prayed. Come, Lord Jesus, even today, and let's see this fulfilled. Here's where I wanted to end, Zephaniah. The amazing grace of God for a people that were stiff-necked, rebellious, prideful, and arrogant, such as what we once were and may still be. Yes, God's grace is amazing, but remember where we began this sermon. Remember where we began. Zephaniah called on the people to come together, called on the people to repent, to seek the Lord, and to seek His righteousness, and to seek humility. Yes, God will bless us, but He also asks us, He also commands us to follow His ways. To follow His ways. I pray that we would repent so that we would, in an even greater way, know the amazing grace that is of our God. Let us pray together. Oh Lord, we do thank You for Your grace. Where would we be? But Father, here I would pray for the strength of the Holy Spirit to lead us through repentance. Let us have a repentant heart. Let us seek after the Lord and His righteousness. Let us seek the humility and the character and nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might reflect Him in our lives, but also to a fallen and dark world. Oh Lord, bless us. And we long to hear those beautiful words of singing as You sing over us on that day. In the Lord Jesus Christ's holy name, amen and amen.